Let us take some time now to attend to the reading of God's word and reflection upon it. Let us attend to the reading of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. Please stand as you are able. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, for the opportunity to gather with one another to reflect upon it. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where are you? Don't you see that I am drowning? I'm being overcome by the waves and the storm that I'm in the midst of. Where are you? I need your help. I need your assistance. I need you to be with me. Jesus has invited the disciples to go with him to the other side. And so he has them join him in a boat. Jesus has invited the disciples into the boat to cross over to the other side. In the moment in which they're crossing over to the other side, a storm comes upon the lake, and the boat is being overcome by the storm. And Jesus is sleeping calmly and quietly in the stern upon a cushion, and the disciples, some who are sailors, some who are fishermen, seek the Lord's assistance, for they are afraid of the situation that they are in. The two pictures that you have today in the order of worship are actually pictures taken from the 1993 cruise book for USS Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt is an aircraft carrier in which I was assigned, and I have told the story before about the storm that we sailed through in March of 1993. I thought these pictures would be a good visual for us today as we think about the disciples being in the boat with Jesus, in the storm upon that lake overcoming that boat, but the storms in our lives that might be overcoming us from time to time. To give you a bit of perspective in those pictures, one of the pictures is of the USS Arleigh Burke. The Arleigh Burke is a destroyer, and the destroyer, all you see in the picture is its bow and the top of its mast. That ship size, just for your perspective, that ship is 505 feet long, and it's 66 feet wide, and it displaces around 8,900 tons. That's the size of the ship that you see the wave that it's sailing through. Theodore Roosevelt, the one with the airplanes on its flight deck, to give you some perspective there on the size of the storm at sea, has the measurements like this. Theodore Roosevelt, a Nimitz-class carrier, is 1,092 feet long. What does that look like? That's 3.5 football fields. It's roughly 252 feet wide, and it displaces 95,000 tons. From the flight deck to the waterline in calm water is about 65 feet. Big ship, has about 5,000 people on board during the storm. The waves that are hitting these two ships are waves that are created by 17-foot swells in the water. Those 17-foot swells are causing the waves to exceed 80 feet in height. 80 feet in height. That's just to give some perspective of the storm that these ships are sailing through. And I know each and every one of us in our lives will sail through a storm. Now, it may not be a storm like the disciples are sailing through or like I sailed through, because when that picture was taken of Theodore Roosevelt, I was on board that ship. I was working that day as we sailed through those waters. But in the midst of sailing through those waters, in the midst of the disciples joining Jesus in the boat to get to the other side, to move away from the crowds, we see powerful storms coming up and emerging in life. We can see the power of the sea and the power of the storm. What are some of the storms that you have experienced in life? What are the storms that you are now experiencing? Remember how you were or now are being tossed about. The movement of activity in your body, in your head, in your soul, in your mind, in your stomach. Imagine the storm as you sail through it, and the impact that it is having upon yourself, your family, your health. A storm that may be directed at your life. The effect of that storm has an impact upon our lives, and its primary impact is dependent upon how we have prepared for that storm in life and how we ride that storm out. In the Navy, we have to prepare to go to sea, and preparing to go to sea means that all the equipment in our spaces, whether it's where you're sleeping to where you are working, is secured or can be secured. That is, tied down or fastened, or so it doesn't go tumbling all over the place. In the same way, in our own lives, how do we prepare for the storms or potential storms in our lives that we may have to face? Whether it's a health issue, whether it's an academic or school issue, whether it's a successful issue, because storms can also be that you had great success. And in great success comes a change in your way of life as well. How do you prepare for storms in life? Well, that's where we come back to Mark, the fourth chapter. We are told in the beginning of Mark, the fourth chapter, from verses 1 through 34, about the kingdom of God. And it seems as I went back and I looked at it, it's like we've been over this ground the last three Sundays. I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of looking at the same message, at the same thing. Isn't there anything new here? Well, what we have in verses 1 through 34 in Mark are stories, are parables about the kingdom of God, as well as some sayings about the kingdom of God. We have the saying about the sower and the seed and the soil. We have the lampstand and light into darkness, and we have the mustard seed, the seed that shows tremendous growth and possibility. In each and every one of these stories, in each and every one of these sayings, one thing that comes through as a central theme is trust in God. We can prepare the soil all we want. We can make sure there's oil in the lamp. But in the course of everything, the lamp has to be lighted, so that we can see into the darkness. And we can't control the seed, but the seed can be sown on a daily basis. And the seed as the gospel, the light as the gospel in our lives, helps us prepare for the storm. It grows in us and guides and directs us in the darkness of the storm that we might be sailing. Now, we've been repeating this over and over for the last 3 weeks, and you think, come on, I've got it. I remember as a child sitting in the pew and listening to the preacher, and I remember writing on my bulletin, I got that point. Why do you keep driving it home? I got it. What more else is there? And then you hear pastors continually repeat themselves. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I got it. You got it. Trust in God. The kingdom of God is trust. God's in control. I got it. So did the disciples. We go and we look at the disciples. The disciples have been journeying with Jesus since he has called them. And what have they done? They have seen Jesus do remarkable miracles and remarkable teaching in the synagogue, in homes healing, in casting out demons. They have firsthand experience with this. And now they join Jesus in the boat, and a storm comes upon, and they've seen all these great things take place. And where do they end up? Well, we, like them, end up sometimes in a similar place and cry out to God, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that our lives are at risk? Don't you understand or see the storm that we are facing? We're in the boat with Jesus. The disciples are in the boat with Jesus. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at. He's getting at, I'm with you. Why aren't you trusting? Why aren't you having faith? I am here. I am in the boat with you. Jesus is in the boat with us. Jesus is with us, helping us to ride the storm out. And Jesus responds with the will of God and rebukes those storms. The word that is used for rebuke in the Greek is the same word that Jesus uses, or that is used in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 3, verse 12. But in particular, the context is verses 11 through 12. This is a place where Jesus is identified by unclean spirits of who he is, and he rebukes the unclean spirits by telling them, you cannot identify me. Jesus, in the calming of the storm, rebukes the winds and the waves and causes a calm. Jesus, through the power of the Spirit, through God, his Father, through the will of God, demonstrates that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That the one who has control over the wind and the waves and the storms in life is God. They may arise, they may come up upon us in our lives, whether it be a health issue, whether it be an employment issue, whatever the issue is that we're facing, we are reminded that we are in the boat with Jesus. Jesus hasn't put us in the boat and just sent us down the river or put us out into the lake or sent us out onto the ocean. Jesus is with us in that boat. And Jesus gives us the care and the power and the faith to endure the storms in that boat. Even though we may feel the waves crashing over us, even though we may feel tossed about in our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies, we are not left alone. Christ Jesus is with us. We live with Christ. We are there. And how do we prepare to live that life? How do we prepare to ride the storms out? We do it on a daily basis. We do it through prayer and scripture reading. We do it through being reminded through one another, through telephone calls, Zoom calls, Bible studies, that we live our life together in the boat with Jesus. We haven't been abandoned. We are in this together. No matter what the transitions of life may be, we need to take heart with our peace that God brings us faith and peace in daily life. We see this, as I challenged us last week, in praying the Lord's Prayer and reflecting upon the Lord's Prayer as a kingdom prayer, as living out our lives with one another in the world today. The world today may seem like it's crashing in all around us, but in the midst of the crashing waves that are around us, we are reminded of what? We are reminded that our Father in heaven cares for us, that His will is our will. Our will needs to be His will, and He doesn't leave us alone, that He provides us with daily bread, that His kingdom will come, that forgiveness and healing takes place. In praying the Lord's Prayer, we pray to see the kingdom daily. We pray to live in the kingdom daily. We pray to be in the boat with one another. And not just one another, but with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As you go through this week, take time to read Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41, and see how that passage, addresses all our fears, how God is faithful to us and has not left us alone, that the Lord is with us in the boat. God is with you. Have faith, hope, and peace. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.